Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I won't need this. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 35, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Does someone have it in their phone or something like this? 325:35. Pashyanti te me ruchirani amba santaha prasanna vaktra aruna lochanani rupani divyani vara pradani sakam vacham Sprihaniyam Vadanti. Pashyanti te me ruchirani amba santa. Pashyanti te me ruchirani amba. What's the meter? Can someone give me the meter? Pashyanti te me ruchirani. No. Ruchiranyamba santa prasanna vaktra runa lochanani. Okay, we'll try that. Pashyanti te me ruchiranyamba santa.
Pashyanti te me ruchiranyamba
prasanna vaktra runa lochanani. Rupani divyani vara pradani. Sakam vacham sprihaniyam vadanti. Pashyanti te me ruchiranyam vasanta. Prasanna vaktra runa lochanani. Rupani divyani vara pradani. Sakam vacham sprihaniyam vadanti. Pashyanti. C. S double E. In case it's by hearing you can't say. Although I hope those of you who are regularly reading the books can know. Pasha, it's vision, see. Pasha me yoga maishvaram. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, see my divine opulence. Te, they, me, my, ruchirani. Who knows what that means? Anyone? It's quite a common name, ruchira, for women. You know that name, ruchira? Yeah, I guess you could say sweet. It means who gives ruchi, gives it. Prabhupada translated here as beautiful, that's the general translation. Beautiful. Yeah. Have you heard that name, Ruchira, girl's name? Amba.
Amba.
You all know what that means? Mother, mother. Janani. In Telugu they say Amma. Amma, is it? Yeah. Santaha, devotees. Prasanna, you all know what that means? Happy. But Srila Prabhupada translates it here as smiling, because the next word is vaktra. Vaktra, which means face. So if we say prasanna vaktra, it means a smiling face, happy face. Aruna. Aruna means? No, not the sun, not exactly. Aruna comes before the sun. He's the charioteer of the sun. But it's often said that, just like Udilo Aruna means the sun is just risen. So, Srila Prabhupada, like the morning sun, Srila Prabhupada gives the translation, like the morning sun. Lochanani. Lochana means eyes. Rupani. I won't bother asking you what that means. If you don't know, then go and put your head in the garbage. Forms. Divyani. Transcendental. Vara. Pradani. So vara means what everyone goes to God for. Benediction. And pradani means giving. So vara pradani means benevolent. Sakam, with me. Vacham, that you know. Vacha means words, speech. Vacham, vakyam. Sprihaniyam. What does that mean? Spriha. No, it's what the consciousness is full of, but it's not consciousness. Spriha is usually translated as desire. Here, Srila Prabhupada translates it, Sprihaniyam, as favorable. Vadanti, they speak. This is Kapila Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaking to his mother. He says, O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. People in Hyderabad don't know what the rising morning sun looks like, because generally they're not up at that time, and even if they are, they can't see the sun until it's got past all the high-rise buildings. So if you want to know what this verse means, get out of this horrible city. Go to the farm. Oh my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. Aruna Lochana. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent. And they also talk favorably with me. Purport. Mayavadis and atheists. You'd think that this is a pauper. It's such a sweet verse that Prabhupada will give you something very sweet and juicy until he starts it off. Mayavadis and atheists. Prabhupada's always ready to punch out those Mayavadis and atheists. Mayavadis and atheists accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols, but devotees do not worship idols. There's no real distinction in Sanskrit or in Vedic culture between... Well, there's only between the form of the Lord and idols. This very word idol, it's not really understandable in Vedic culture. The word idol means a statue that is worshipped as God, but God can't be a statue So it's all bogus. But Vedic culture accepts that God accepts the form Sri Murti, so it's non-translatable. That's why often we hear people in India speaking of idols. They don't really mean anything bad, but it's actually a very bad word. If you're an idol worshipper, that's a qualification to get your head cut off. If you happen to come across someone who's a Muslim who believes in such cutting people's heads off, or if you are Christians also, consider Jews, they consider it very bad to worship the deity who we see as most worshipable. They see as Beelzebub. Have you heard that word? Beelzebub. Just like God is the name, is the title of the post, and Krishna is his name. So Satan is the title of the post, and Beelzebub, at least according to, I don't know if it's in the Bible, but that's his actual name. So if you ever meet him, you can call him by his name. Beelzebub, something like that. Huh? Lucifer? Yeah? Yeah, Lucifer. That's another name. Devotees do not worship idols. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his archa incarnation. Archa refers to the form which we can worship in our present condition. Actually, in our present state, it is not possible to see God in his spiritual form because our material eyes and senses cannot conceive of a spiritual form. We cannot even see the spiritual form of the individual soul. When a man dies, we cannot see how the spiritual form leaves the body. That is the defect of our material senses. In order to be seen by our material senses, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a favorable form which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha, sometimes called the Archa incarnation, is not different from him. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts various incarnations, he takes on forms made of matter, clay, wood, metal, and jewels. There are many shastric injunctions which give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. If God is all-pervading, then he is also in the material elements. There is no doubt about it. But the atheists think otherwise. Although they preach that everything is God, when they go to the temple and see the form of the Lord, they deny that he is God. According to their own theory, everything is God. Then why is the deity not God? Jai, kick him in the face with boots. Actually, they have no conception of God. The devotee's vision, however, is different. Their vision is smeared with love of God. What's the verse? Their vision is, who said? Said? Don't you, sir? We all know you're not. Someone else. How about any of the Gurukul boys? The devotee's vision is smeared with love of God. Anyone? You all chant the verses every day. Anyone? Love of God. What is love of God? Prema. All right, very good. All right. Premanjana. Anjana means something. Ointment, something like that. The ointment of love of God. As soon as they see the Lord in his different forms, the devotees become saturated with love. And the Mayavadis are saying, statue, statue. And the devotees are saturated with love of God. For they do not find any difference between the Lord and his form in the temple, as do the atheists. The smiling face... Actually, even the atheists don't find any difference between the Lord and his form, because they don't... Everything for them is not God. So why do they pick on the deity? To the atheist, everything is not God, and to the Mayavadi, everything is God, and they both come out to be the same. Demons. The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual, and the decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is the duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations which are followed in temples of Vishnu, and devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form, because all of the deities are benevolent. The devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances the deity also gives answers. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotee through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity and how they speak with him in devotional service. Switch off, Koro. Switch off your phone. If you haven't already done so, take out your phone and switch it off. Conclusively, off. Yeah, he already said, I heard him say switch off and then something. So, Telugu, 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 switch off Telugu, Telugu, something like that. There are, how many ways are there to serve Krishna? Start with a question. Start this class with a question. How many ways are there to serve Krishna? Nine? Any other suggestions? 64? Innumerable. Innumerable ways. They may be grouped under nine main categories. Among them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave five as most important. What are they? Anyone? Let's put it in order. What comes? The order is important, actually. What comes first? Sadhu Sangha. You don't answer any questions, because we know you know all the answers. Let someone see if anyone... I mean, these are important topics. Sadhu Sangha comes first. Number two? Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan. Bhagavat Shravan. Mathura Vas Shraddhai Shri Murtir Sevan. Associating with devotees, chanting the holy names of Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in Mathura. Put some more chairs. We need on this side also. Oh, she's going outside. Anyway, please arrange chairs for the elderly bodied devotees. Residing in Mathura and worshipping Srimurti, the deity, with faith. This point, with faith, is important. Srila Prabhupada mentions here that Mayavadis, they don't accept the deity as actually being Krishna. They may worship the deity, Mayavadis also do deity worship. These, if you see the traditional Shankaracharyas, they all do the deity worship every day. They do puja. But they don't actually believe that the deity is God any more than anything else is God. They'll say it's a representation. That brings to mind something. I saw a video clip of Zakir Naik. You've all heard of Dr. Zakir Naik. There's a video clip of one of his stupid fans, or we can just say fans, they're all stupid, asking him about ISKCON. And he said, well, I met an ISKCON leader and I asked him about their worship of statues. And he said, is the statue God? And he said, no, represents God. And we know he's just bluffing and lying, because no ISKCON devotee will say that. Absolutely, they will not say that. He said, an ISKCON leader. He said, I met an ISKCON leader. No ISKCON devotee will say that. By Prabhupada's mercy, we know that the deity is Krishna. Pratima nahatumi shakat brajendra nandam. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one devotee addressing Krishna, who is pretending to be a deity, that you are not a statue, you are directly Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Actually, that pretending to be a deity, I've heard that Srila Prabhupada said about Radha Landanishwara, that he's not a deity, he's Krishna pretending to be a deity. So this is one of the important methods of devotional service, and Srila Prabhupada installed many deities all over the world, which was a very bold thing to do. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's whole preaching mission all over the world was very bold, but considering that in India, to worship deities requires a very high level of training. Traditionally, deities of Vishnu, for that worship, one will have to be born in a Brahmin family, properly initiated, properly trained, before they can worship the deity in the public temples. One has to study at the Gurukul, learn at least one Veda. You actually have to be a Brahmin, qualified Brahmin. And Srila Prabhupada went among people who couldn't, even if you tried to teach them, they couldn't even pronounce one word of Sanskrit properly. What to speak of learning a whole Veda, who had already committed enough sinful activities in their lives to go to hell for a very long time. Srila Prabhupada established deities. He had great faith that Western people can also do this. One of Srila Prabhupada's first plans for preaching Krishna consciousness in the West was to establish an Indian-style temple in New York. If you see Srila Prabhupada's early letters, he was corresponding with some Padam Pat Singhania, that you send the money and I'll build the temple. I think it was 12 lakhs or something. You couldn't buy one square inch of land in New York nowadays for 12 lakhs, quite likely. But that was one of Prabhupada's early plans to establish. He established many deities and all over the world. Of course, in this city also, in Hyderabad, he established Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Of course, when we say this city, the place we're sitting in now wasn't the city of Hyderabad at the time that Srila Prabhupada established those deities. Up until a short time ago, it was fields, empty fields. Part of which, Rangareddy district? It was part of Rangareddy district, which at the when Prabhupada was there, it wasn't called that. It was only renamed later. After some politician, is it? Rangareddy? Some politician, yeah. They could have at least named it after Bhagavan. Why after some politician? If you didn't, there's already Krishna district. Krishna district. In the east of Andhra Pradesh, that terrible place which no one in Telangana ever wants to go to or hear about, called Andhra Pradesh. There's Krishna district, named after the river. So they could have called it Govinda district or something. But they give, then everyone would be purified by saying, but instead they give the name of some politician. Was he an actor also? Most politicians are. Anyway, but just by saying his name you become sinful. I don't know him actually, who he was, but all the politicians, they're like that, right? Anyway, Srila Prabhupada established so many deities all over the world, and always very strongly made the point, this is Krishna. When installing Rukmini, I'm not sure it's Rukmini Dwarkadish or Rukmini Dwarkanath, the first deities he established in Los Angeles were the small deities who are known as Rukmini Dwarkanath, and then later, I believe it was at the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles. You can hear Srila Prabhupada, he says that Krishna has come. He wants to speak to you, as given in this verse. The devotees talk with Krishna, the deity. But you have to prepare yourself. If you think that the deity is a brass made idol, then to you he will remain a brass made idol forever. But if you actually purify yourself, then Krishna will speak with you. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Vanshidas Babaji, who spent practically all day talking with his deities, mostly chastising them and calling them bad names. That was his bhav. So this deity worship is mentioned in more detail later in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna instructs Uddhava how to worship himself, that means Krishna, in the form of the deity. I'll just read a few verses from that section. Vaidikastantriko mishra iti me trividho makhaha trayanam ipsite naiva vidhina mam samarcharet. The term used here is makaha. Anyway, that's another discussion. One should carefully worship me by selecting one of the three methods by which I receive sacrifice. Vedic, tantric, or mixed. So what system do we use in our ISKCON? Vedic, tantric, or mixed? What do you think? Any idea? Tantric means those people who go at night into the graveyards and get dead, there's corpses, and sit on top of them and do sadhana. That's tantric, right? We do according to tantra. Tantra doesn't just, generally we think of tantrics as people who are worshipping ghosts and having sex with dead bodies. There's an English word for that, actually. I don't know why there's a word. Having sex with dead bodies. There's actually an English word which I can't remember. Nephromania, something like that. A tantra basically means some kind of... Well, it literally means the weaving, but by derivation it means activity. So we worship according to the derived from the Narada Pancharatra Tantra. In the as far as I know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Tengalai and the Vadagalai worship according to Veda, Vaikanasa, and the Tengalai worship according to the Agama Shastras, the Pancharatra. Purvang snanam prakur vita dhota dantonga shuddhaye ubhayair api chasnanam mantrayam ridgrahan adina. One should first purify his body by cleansing his teeth and bathing. Then one should perform a second cleansing by smearing the body with earth and chanting both Vedic and Tantric mantras. So one has to be very clean to worship the deity. Sandhyo pascha dikarmani veden achoditani me pujang tai kalpayet samyak sankalpa karma pavanim. Fixing the mind on me, one should worship me by his, means one's own, various prescribed duties, such as chanting the Gayatri mantra at the three junctures of the day. Such performances are enjoined by the Vedas and purify the worshipper of reactions to fruitive activities. Then, the deity form of the Lord appears in eight elements, you could say. Stone, wood, metal, earth, paint, sand, the mind, and jewels. So this is given Shaili, Darumai, Lauhi, Lepya, Lekya, Chasaikati, Manomai, Manimai, Pratimashta, Vidha, Smita. Here the word is used Pratima for deity. And that's so let's see here if you have a little quiz again. Shaili means which element? Shaila, Sri Shailam, you have famous holy place in Ambra. Shaila means stone. Darumai means wood. Lauhi, metal. Lepya. Here, it seems to be earth. There's Lepya and Lekya. So both would seem, but Lepya means of earth. Here it's given here, earth. And Lekya means paint. Saikati, sand. Do you have that word in Telugu? Saikata means sand, yeah. Tartala Saikata, that comes, Srila Prabhupada quotes that. Vidyapati, hot sand. Manomai means in the mind, and Manimai means jewels. Chalachaleti dvividha pratishta jiva mandiram udvasavahane nasta stirayam udhavarchane. The deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities, can be established in two ways, temporarily or permanently. But a permanent deity, having been called, can never be sent away, my dear Uddhava. Please bear this in mind, all of those who are eager to worship deities. Once you start deity worship, you have to continue. Don't stop. It has to go on. As Srila Prabhupada, he got the news that one temple in Edinburgh, which is the capital of Scotland, had been closed down. Srila Prabhupada was very upset. He says, it's a very great offense. You establish the deity there, and then you close the temple down and send the deity away. How can you do that? You call Krishna and then go away. He was not happy. Dravyai prasiddhair madhyaga pratimas dishvamayanaha bhaktasya cha yatha labdhair hridi bhavena chaivahi. One should worship me in my deity forms by offering the most excellent paraphernalia. But a devotee completely freed from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to obtain, and may even worship me within his heart with bhava, hridi bhavena. So generally, deity worship, that requires some level of opulence to offer so many nice things to Krishna. But one who is completely free from material desire can worship the deity just with whatever he can get. There's a famous narration of Sanatana Goswami, who took Madan Mohan, who was living in Mathura. He was established in Vrindavan by Vajranabh, one of the grandsons of Krishna. Later, after Muslim attacks, he was taken to a house in Mathura, where the family there, they worshipped him just like a little boy. And Madan Mohan, the deity, used to play with their children, like one of their children. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami found out, Madan Mohan came and told him, look, you bring me back to Vrindavan. So he came. The family were not at all willing, Chobe family. Mathura Chobes. There are so many Chobes in Mathura. So they weren't very willing, but anyway, he took Madan Mohan, who was used to being fed very nicely, but Sanatana Goswami was a highly renounced sadhu. Nidrahara vihara kadi vijito. He had given up or conquered over eating and sleeping. So it was Sanatana's practice for his food to go for madhukari, which means he'd go to 7 people each day and take whatever they give. Mostly they give some dry chapati, whatever Sanatana would take. So he would offer that first to Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan was used to being fed very nicely. He said, so one day Madan Mohan said that, hey, Sanatana, you know, maybe you could just manage a little salt to go with the chapati, just a little. Sanatana said, come on. Now you want salt, and the next thing you want ghee. Come on, you send me here just to do this Lupta Tirtha Udhar and finding out the lost holy place, writing books. You already, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Sanatana Goswami, you already gave me so much service to you, and now what am I? He refused. No. You yourself said in Bhagavad Gita that santushta, what is it? Labha santushta. Labha santushta. What is that verse? Yadricha labha santushta. You yourself said in Bhagavad Gita. You should be satisfied with whatever you get. Yadricha labha santushta. Dvanvatita vimatsaraha. So come on, walk the talk. Sanatan told. I'm adding a little masala here, as you can understand. So, yeah, great devotee, he can worship Krishna like that. But if you or I were to do that, just offer Krishna some dry chapatis, that, from our side, that would be an offense. So, back to Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Snana lankaranam preshtam archayam eva tudhava sthandile tatva vinyaso
Vahnav aja plutang havihi surye chabai surye chabhyarahanam prashtam salile salila dibihi shradhayo paharitam prashtam bhaktena mama varyapi. In worshipping the temple deity, my dear Uddhava, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings. For the deity traced on sacred ground, the process of tattva vinyas is most dear. I don't know what tattva vinyas means. We know what tattva means, and we know what vinyas means, placing, but exactly what tattva vinyas means, I don't know. Oblations of sesame and barley soaked in ghee are the preferred offering to the sacrificial fire, whereas worship consisting of upasthan, whatever that is, and argya is preferred for the sun. Argya means some flavored drink in this context. One should worship me in the form of water by offering water itself, as we see. As people take baths in the river and they take the water and offer water to water. Actually, whatever is offered to me with faith by my devotee, even if only a little water, is most dear to me. So Sanatan is exonerated. Bhuriyapyabhakto paharitam name toshaya kalpate gandho dhupa sumanaso dipo nadyam chaking punaha. Even very opulent presentations do not satisfy me if they are offered by non-devotees. But I am pleased by any insignificant offering made by my loving devotees. And I am certainly most pleased when nice presentations of fragrant oil, incense, flowers, and palatable foods are offered with love. The devotee experiences the presence of Krishna. The non-devotee will not accept that this is Krishna. Actually, there are hundreds and thousands of stories. Stories means actual events of the deities reciprocating with the worshipper. But non-devotees don't believe. Even there are so many stories, they can't, is it all just imagination? Even some Britishers, they became convinced. That we went one time to that Divya Desham in Tamil Nadu, Madhurantakam. Was anyone there when we went there? You're all the Telugu crowd. You were there, Madhurantakam, where there was terrific rain. The bandh or the dam was about to break from the rain. And the British man, he prayed to Rama. He said, all these people are worshipping you, you should protect them. So Rama and Lakshman appeared to him, and he built a temple. And the inscription is still there, in Telugu script, about this Englishman who... he prayed for the mercy of Rama, and Rama appeared to him, and he built the temple. And there are many such instances of Tipu Sultan, he also gave some endowments to different temples. So sometimes the deity may reveal himself even to non-devotees, but especially he reveals himself to his devotees. And then there's some, I just said about Sanatan Goswami and Madan Mohan, and even within our ISKCON there are so many cases of the deity reciprocating
with the devotee. There are so many cases of Nrisimhadev in Mayapur reciprocating with their devotees, and Jagannath in Rajapur, which is close to Mayapur, within Navadvip Mandal. There are so many instances of the deity actually personally interacting with the devotees that there have been books written with all these pastimes. Jagannath in Puri, hundreds and thousands of cases of devotees, they pray to Jagannath, how their desire is fulfilled or how Jagannath appears in their life. It's not a dream. It's not imagination. Krishna is a fact. Krishna reveals himself. Sometimes he reveals himself as the deity, sometimes as the holy name. One devotee, I was just listening to a lecture of a devotee, my godbrother, known as Bharadaraj. I guess that's supposed to be Varadaraj. One of the artists appointed by Srila Prabhupada to paint pictures for his Krishna book. And he said that all of the artists painting those pictures, they all had this experience as they were painting, that they weren't painting at all. Prabhupada was painting. And they were holding the paintbrush. And Prabhupada was painting. And Krishna revealed himself in the form of those paintings through Srila Prabhupada. And he said that one of the early paintings, if you see the early paintings in Krishna book, the original pictures, they're quite crude, you could say, almost childish looking, some of them. These paintings that we see, or the reproductions of these paintings, they're all, we could say, second generation. If we say, just like we have 1G, 2G in the, for the phones, cell phones? So these are all second generation paintings. They're very sophisticated, and by the stand, I mean, of course, I'm by no means an art connoisseur, but I can understand that by any standards, they're consummate works of art. But the first generation, they were quite rough, you could say, oh God, and mostly quite gaudy, which means very bright colors. Which there's a word in English about gaudy, which means it's like they don't like that very much. But of course, in Indian culture, bright colors are appreciated. You see, in the Western countries, people, they mostly dress in dark colors. Have you seen that? Have you noticed? Even the Western devotees, the Matajis who wear saris, they're afraid to wear bright colors. If you go to Rajasthan, then you'll see bright colors. Really bright. Very bright. So anyway, they were like that. Very bright colored pictures. These are darker, actually. The original pictures are very bright colors. So it seems like the shining of the spiritual world. So Bharadaraj Prabhu said that one picture, he was just struck that Krishna revealed himself. He was transported to the spiritual world. Windows, Srila Prabhupada called these paintings windows to the spiritual world. You can look in and see what's Krishna doing. So Krishna reveals himself. And he comes as the deity to reveal himself to the devotees. And there are so many, I'm planning to, now there's not much time, but we can continue later, Krishna willing, just narrate some of these pastimes of deities, how Krishna reveals himself to great devotees.
But he may reveal himself even to what we may say very ordinary devotees, or even people who are not really devotees at all, just like that British officer in Madhurantakam. He wasn't really a devotee at all. But at that time he prayed with great faith to Lord Rama. And Rama, he's independent, he's the Supreme Lord. Generally, he's Nahang Prakarsha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita Murho Yang Nabijanati Loko Mama Jamavyayam. I do not reveal myself to the foolish, the non-devotees, not to everyone. Patya Mama Vijanati. My devotees can properly know me. But even what he says and gives to the world as Bhagavad Gita, as factual spiritual knowledge, he's independent. If he wants, he can reveal himself to anyone. So he revealed himself. All right, you're praying with faith? Okay, all right. And he stopped the rain. So the whole area was going to be completely flooded and so many people would have been killed. But because that British officer prayed, everyone else was praying to Ram also. But when that British officer prayed, then Ram and Lakshman, they appeared to him. And the rain stopped, which hadn't been stopped for days and days on end. So I'm planning to speak on these pastimes, some of these pastimes, but not just now, because this session, the time for it is over. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.